Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with the buzz. It is always about great service. Tune in to ESPN 94.9 The Fan today as the Sounds take on Durham, pregame beginning at 5:20, first pitch at 5:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app. And at thegamenashville.com, Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Normally joined by Teron Davenport at this time. He is traveling and will be back with us next week. So looking forward to that. Take your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025, our phone number. So, Joe, we brought this up a couple of weeks ago with PK, but let's get to the latest on the collusion findings in the NFL. I'll just read the first couple of graphs here from an ESPN.com story. It says, quote, the NFL and senior leaders of the NFL Players Association struck an unusual confidentiality agreement that hid the details of an arbitration decision from players, including a finding that league executives have urged team owners to reduce guaranteed player compensation, multiple sources telling ESPN. On January 14th, arbitrator Christopher Droney ruled that there wasn't sufficient evidence of collusion by owners in contract negotiations with quarterbacks after the record fully guaranteed contract signed by Deshaun Watson in 2022. Any such collusion to keep salaries down would violate the CBA between the NFL and the players' union, but Droney concluded that the NFLPA showed, quote, by a clear preponderance of the evidence that Commissioner Roger Goodell and the league's general counsel, Jeff Pash, had urged owners to restrict guaranteed money in player contracts. So what do you make of all that? What do you make of the idea of executives looking at the owners and saying, hey, let's make sure we get this player compensation down, and if that was found to be true, what that means for the NFL?
Well, first of all, let's give some credit to Pablo Torre, who his podcast, Pablo Torre Finds Out, I was a little bit like, I don't know if I want to know this much about Bill Belichick's girlfriend, but thanks. You know, he's taking some heat for here and there, but I mean, he was able to get his hands on the 61-page report that basically 2 weeks ago that was never made available, which is insane. Like, the whole thing's insane to me. What's the real impact here? I mean, look, this is pretty clear to me that, like you said, like the Watson thing freaks everybody out. And it should have. But you still can't collude.
Yep.
And so remember, like, all the conversation we had around the Lamar Jackson time, right? Like, man, no one seems interested in it. All this stuff. And you look back and it's like, man, you know, the Watson thing, which, again, was a terrible contract, has worked out even worse than I think anyone's wildest imagination, probably, right?
Yeah, so, I would say so.
But the fact is, when you do something like that, the rest of the league, not only, I mean, they're mad at you because it's like, oh, so now every good quarterback is going to have a fully guaranteed contract. That's what we're doing now, you know? So the owners collude. And, I mean, good thing for media, because the NFLPA, I mean, my goodness, how are you allowing this to happen where you're just not even getting – you're getting this confidentiality agreement crap and you're not getting the information on what happened in the meeting?
The NFLPA
is pretty
sucks.
Bad.
Yeah.
Well, and so now, you know, of course, you also have the executive director, Lloyd Howell Jr. He comes out that he's a paid consultant for a private equity firm that the NFL approved to pursue minority ownership stakes in franchises. So again, like, so he's like on the ownership side of things, and he's the NFLP executive. It's what? How the heck does this guy ever get to this point? It's a complete bleep show for the players. So obviously they're appealing, but you know, it's another example of if you don't have someone closely watching these people. If you don't have, really, on like the union side, you've got to be, you know, Gene Upshaw was a bulldog. You got to have someone like that to hold these people to account, or they're going to do things like this. And here's another example.
Yeah, it's wild. And, you know, we talked a couple weeks ago about the Justin Herbert part of this as well, where, you know, the Chargers owner was basically accused of collusion on the Justin Herbert contract as well, talking about, I think it was Kyler Murray and the deal that he signed, and it was basically like, oh, thank God that deal's a little bit lower. Let's get Justin Herbert's number down there too. Like, it's just,
yeah.
Like, I'm sure a lot of that goes on
sure.
behind closed doors, but it kind of leads to the larger discussion on this of, like, if you're the NFLPA and you suspect that this is happening behind the scenes, like, don't you have to fight this tooth and nail? Like, look, the NFLPA, and we talked about this with Garcia a couple weeks ago, they're never really in position to go on strike or anything like that, right? Like, just the way that things are structured, the TV contracts, like, the owners are getting paid. That's with whether the games are played or not, when it comes to the NFL and the TV contracts. So, like, if you're missing games, that's your game checks that you're missing. And with how finite an NFL career is, you know, it's not a huge deal to Patrick Mahomes if you're missing a couple games.
Right.
But it is a huge deal to people at the bottom end of your roster, which is why these things never happen.
Like, it's most people.
That's why the NFL players don't go on strike anymore, and you don't see these things happen, and it feels like they get pushed around a lot. But, like, on something like this, you would think there would be a little bit more of a fight than they've shown in this to this point.
Well, I mean, everybody hated DeMorris Smith, and he took a lot of crap, but my goodness, does he sound good right now to the players.
Yeah.
I mean, they've just been completely just had the wool pulled over their eyes here. It's yeah. So, you know, what does it mean? I mean, this is one of those things, like, you know, for the NFL fan, I mean, I feel like this story has faded very rapidly, and, you know, I get it. I mean, people want to talk about their teams, and they want to talk about, you know, that some people would rather talk about alternate uniforms than this story. But it is a pretty big story, and it's going to be interesting to see what comes of this. I mean, the NFLPA needs to find some serious leadership out of this. I mean, obviously, it's a problem. And where do things go? Like,
yep.
How do we get more – do we get closer to – especially with this, almost as backlash, do we get closer to – more guaranteed contracts or close to fully guaranteed contracts, quarterback guaranteed contracts? I mean, we all agree that the Deshaun Watson deal is a joke.
Yeah.
I mean, even if he was what they thought he was going to be or close to it, like, ridiculous. They went way overboard with it. But it's still, like, you can make the case considering how important that position is and the longevity, the general longevity of people at that position now, which is more than ever, that at least is a spot that you should have contracts that are almost fully. And I mean, Lamar Jackson ended up getting a good deal and good share of it guaranteed, but it'll be interesting to see where that goes to.
615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on this. I got a couple other thoughts on the NFL I want to get into coming up next as well. We'll do that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Got a pair of tickets to give away to see Coheed and Cambria at Ascend Amphitheater Wednesday, September the 3rd. Be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025. Caller 3 will win a pair of tickets to Coheed and Cambria at Ascend Amphitheater coming up on Wednesday, September the 3rd. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, I've seen the top 25 worst coaching hires in the NFL in the last quarter century that CBS has come out with. Cody Benjamin put this together. It's very fascinating to go through here. I clicked on it because I was wondering if there was a certain Tennessee Titans coach that may have found his way onto the list, and that would be Ken Whisenhunt. He did not. Now, I think you could make an argument that maybe he should be. I mean, Ken Whisenhunt coached 23 games for the Titans and went 3-20, which is a 130 win percentage. Not very good.
Yeah, so it must be just because he did have the Super Bowl previously that
it must be
compared to, I'm sure a lot of these on the list are people who never did anything and never should have gotten the job.
There are some of those for sure. There are some very prominent names on the list as well, but it's a very fascinating list. I was telling you, there are three separate Detroit Lions head coaches in the top 10.
Oh, baby.
None in the top 5, but three in the top 10.
Okay, so Rod Marinelli, Matt Patricia, and Marty Morningweg. I need to I want to try to guess of who got ranked higher.
Okay.
See, to me, Marinelli, it's like you got to be a coordinator, man. So I'm going to put him as the highest ranking of the bad hires, and I think he was the coach of that 0-16 team.
He was.
And that, but Patricia's so close. Patricia was so bad and such a complete train wreck, and really has been just a train wreck.
Yeah.
As a coach, other than when he was in his happy place, you know, in the Death Star in New England, and was overestimated as a
Brady
coach.
Tom Brady hasn't been like, his quarterback. He's been bad.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I mean, of course, he was on D. You know, he's defensive guy. Yeah. Right. Tom Brady made it, and then I guess I would go Morning Wag. But Morning Wag, we'll take the wind. There's an all-timer from an NFL coach.
That's
good. We're in Soldier Field. It's overtime. This is back in the sudden death. You know what? We'll take the wind.
It's good stuff.
Good job, Marty.
Yeah. So
am I right?
Marinelli is number 10 on the list.
Oh.
Matt Patricia, number 9.
Okay.
Morning Wag, number 7. Those are the worst hires of the last 25 years.
Oh, so I was wrong. I was wrong. But all of them very excellent choices.
Two Broncos in the top 5. Nathaniel Hackett coming in at number 5. That one.
Whew.
Josh McDaniels at number 4, which is also bad. I would argue that Hackett was worse than McDaniels, but whatever. I mean, there was more stuff. Like, I think it wasn't McDaniels that they got into it with Jay Cutler, like, before he even started the job there. Like, it's like him and Jay Cutler got into it, and then he traded him.
Yeah, and he was pretty good, by the way. It is, and it's very hard to be good at quarterback with the Chicago Bears. It doesn't happen in their history.
So there's actually two coaches that are tied for number 1 on this list. There's
a tie.
One.
You
well,
can't
not
cop
really.
Out and
so
tie.
there's one that's ranked number 1, and then there's 1B on here that's just kind of a thrown together in there, which doesn't really count. Like, I mean, the Jets hired Bill Belichick. And he didn't coach a game for him. So does that really count? That's why he's 1B and not really on the list. He's just kind of off to the side.
Yeah, I mean, that's a disastrous situation. But, like, the idea was good.
Yeah, the idea was good.
Right. They had the right idea.
Do you have a guess as to who the number one worst coaching hire of the last 25 years is on this list?
Give me 1 second.
Okay.
I need
Is it Urban?
I can neither confirm or deny.
Oh, it's got to be it.
Rural.
I think you just did it.
It's Urban.
Yeah. Well done.
Urban's number 1.
Well done.
I mean, it's hard to top.
Yeah.
Urban Meyer.
Old Rural. Got a level.
Oh, yeah. 2-11 as Jaguars head coach. And Cody Benjamin ends it this way. The worst part wasn't the losses, but the scandals sandwiched between them, none greater than a seemingly flirtatious trip to the bar captured in a viral video while the rest of the team flew home from defeat.
Do you remember?
Didn't
like,
they play the Titans like the week after that?
Oh yeah, no. Remember, like I was there for the Titans, but it was like actually, if you could mostly just watch Urban for the entire thing and write about him, like okay. So I just went on the field and watched Urban Meyer and all his interactions, including his fake like, "Hey Mike," handshake with Vrabel, and then wrote about his just bizarre.
What a time that was.
My goodness, what a time.
Why are you
what
holding your hands like that?
I'm trying to get a question in here.
Well, then ask the question. Don't. No, I'm just saying, like, you look ridiculous.
God, what a jerk.
You think
such a jerk.
You think Vrabel that time asked Urban what he was doing with his hands in that video?
That's a good point. That would have been a
what much
better question
with your hands? Forget Rex Road. What are you doing with your hands out there?
Urban, my goodness. God. Yeah. Team playing, you guys
go back.
Yeah, I'm gonna hang back a little bit, get a couple beers with the boys. Yeah, okay. My God, there were people.
You think he was reading the subscription to The Athletic in that bar too, or was he emailing other writers?
Reading someone else's
email? Yeah.
Hey, do you have the Athletic app on your phone? Can I read it? Yeah. Do you know that story, Ian?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. So, wrote about the 2012 Ohio State Buckeyes team and a lot about like Urban Meyer and all that stuff and how basically Vrabel and a bunch of coaches came from that and all that stuff. So,
oh yeah, the coaching.
So
training.
I talked to Urban for that and then he asked me to email it to him because he doesn't have an athletic suit. I'm like, dude, it's like $9, dude. $9.
Crazy.
Yeah, but I sent it to him.
Could you send that to me?
He enjoyed the story.
I can't afford that subscription there.
And the thing is, he was working in media at the time, which he still is.
Yeah.
If you're working in like sports media,
sounds like he's doing a lot of homework there.
I think you should probably like be able to read sports websites, but I don't know. Call me crazy.
Number two on this list, Bobby Petrino in Atlanta. Boy, oh, was that a doozy.
Oh, that's a beauty too.
Oh, man. My I forgot goodness. About, I mean, like Jim Tom Sula in San Francisco. Oh, I forgot about that
God,
one.
God, that's a great one.
Nice. A lot of sweat in that one. Adam Gase.
What about Singletary? Say, Gase is Singletary has be on up there?
Singletary is not on this list, I don't think. Huh. I don't think Singletary. I mean,
he just completely melted down.
I mean, you've got two prominent college football coaches on this list. Nick Saban to the Dolphins at 24. And Spurrier in Washington at number 20.
See, those are both. I kind of have a problem with both of those. Now, Spurrier, maybe it doesn't, you know, the offense or whatever. But, like, the Spurrier thing started to reveal to us who Daniel Snyder was,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know that I buy that. And also, Saban, I mean, Saban did okay with
the
Dolphins.
He was 15 and 17.
Yeah, I mean, he did okay. I mean, the whole thing that happened with Drew Brees, who he wanted to be his quarterback,
yeah,
and he gets a cashed out Dante Culpepper instead.
Yeah,
I don't know if I buy that one.
Yeah,
I think there's some other ones that we've already talked about that should be there instead of Saban. Not to be a big Saban defender, but I'm just
I
saying.
I mean, it is because, you know, on this list, the number 25 coach is actually, let's see here, five coaches. The 25 on the list is all of the Browns: Romeo Crennel, Eric Mangini, Pat Shurmur, Rob Chudzinski, and Mike Pettine, all kind of sandwiched together there at number 25.
There's some buttes in there, man. Mangini.
Man, the Browns have made some hires.
The Browns and the Jets.
Oh, man.
And the Lions. It's funny how it's consistent, yeah, right?
I mean, there's another Jags coach on here, Gus Bradley. I forgot about Gus Bradley.
Yeah, that's right.
Golly. But, hey, if you're a Titans fan, take some heart. You did not make – now, it could just be – like everybody else, I guess they forget you're in the NFL, which seems to be a thing lately.
Maybe that's what it is.
Oh, yeah.
If it comes down to the Titans on the list, just bring them down.
If
you got another team, you put them in there.
Throw them in there.
Oh, shoot. Wisenhunt would have been top five. We forgot you were there.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
I mean, Wisenhunt, you can make
at the
case.
Time, I don't think it looked, you know.
At the time, it was like, okay, this guy.
This could be promising.
Took Arizona to the Super Bowl.
I mean, sure. Exactly. He had skins on the wall.
Yeah.
Unlike some of these guys.
It is amazing that he was, you know, he took the Cardinals to the Super Bowl in 08, the 08 season, 09 Super Bowl.
And was real close to winning it.
He followed up the next year. They went 10-6. And then it was 5-11, 8-8, 5-11. He gets fired in Arizona. And then it's 2-14 here and then 1-6 before he gets canned. Like, it just completely fell apart on him.
Well, and the thing is, as anyone, I mean, we have plenty of people doing shows here who were around. Like, I've not heard a person who was around him back then who has anything but total disgust for him.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like, it's insane.
Yeah. I mean, like, I wasn't around.
No one
then.
Has anything nice to say about the guy.
I was fully into hockey mode then, not on the radio, not around the Titans, but I have not heard anyone say anything positive about that guy.
Like, if there's someone in town who had a positive interaction with Ken Wisenhunt during his time here, please text or call. The text or phone line driven by WilsonCountyHigh.com.
Well,
thank you.
Should be one, right? Zach Mettenberger.
Yeah, I mean, the Met Show probably loves him.
That's true. He got a nice opportunity.
That's true.
And yeah. I think he's married to one of his kids, is he not?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, he gets eliminated from the list. It's kind of like Stairway to Heaven and Freebird get eliminated from the classic rock list. Yeah.
Sam on the text line says, McDaniels was the worst head coach of all time. I'm pretty sure the Cutler trade was for Kyle Orton. Yeah, I think it was. Kyle Orton.
Woo! Boiler up, baby.
I mean, not that Jay Cutler was like, you know, crazy good or anything, but he was a lot better than Kyle Orton.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Golly.
We should ask Zach, huh? How is he as a father-in-law?
Maybe we'll have to get him on the show.
Yeah.
I got a text that says, was interested to catch up on Ken Wisenhunt, and on the Wikipedia page, he's wearing Titans gear in the picture that pops up. Is my phone listening to you guys? I don't know, man. I have not visited the Ken Wisenhunt Wikipedia page in a while. Here's what, like, David Culley is on this list at number 23. Like, I would put Wisenhunt on the list before David Culley, even Texans. Like,
yeah, I mean,
like, David Culley was put in a bad situation.
Exactly.
But I don't know that was necessarily a bad hire.
In fact, I would say he probably overperformed what you would have thought would have happened there.
I mean, he's
given all the stuff that was happening with that organization at that point.
He's 23 and Lovie Smith is 22. Both Texans guys, right back to back there, and both of them kind of got screwed by the Texans.
Yeah.
In the middle of that whole Deshaun Watson stuff.
Now that you've really I really don't like this list very much.
Cody Benjamin, need you to put together a better list.
Come on, Cody.
Have to put together a better list.
Jackson saying, why are Freebird and sorry, I tell this story a lot, but my classic rock station in Richmond, Virginia, XL 102, I think, but they're not all, it's a rock station, but they do a classic rock countdown. I think I have the station right. Classic rock countdown every summer, and they let people vote, but you can't vote for Freebird and Stairway to Heaven because they're obviously 1 and 2. That's why. They're just eliminated from the competition. They're so clearly the top two.
Says Richmond's alternative rock radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
XL 102.
Yeah. Maybe it's more, back in my day, which is a long ass time ago, it was more all kinds of rock.
I tell you what, you talk about underrated that we probably don't discuss enough in NFL history. The Bobby Petrino thing. I mean, there's the picture of him in the neck brace at Arkansas, which is its own iconic image. But him just quitting on the Falcons after 13 games and basically even like post-it notes in the locker room. Hey, guys, I'm gone, baby. Going back to college.
Thanks.
See you guys later.
THX. Not even spelling out thanks. Just THX. See ya. With a C. Not S-E-E. See ya.
615-737-1025. You know, I didn't know that this was possible, but it is. Rex Rhodes got a big problem with Stillman. And he ain't even been on the air this week. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. This fall, live at the Pinnacle at Nashville Yards, Tim McGraw will perform at Trinitix's Rock the Cradle. This event's sure to be a great time celebrating a great cause. Proceeds from the event will support newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. Get your tickets now at rockthecradlenashville.org. Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, the game. Still haven't been to a show at the Pinnacle. I assume I'm going to go at some point, but I've heard cool things.
Yeah, it's really cool. I'm sure I saw the show. We saw Counting Crows. It was a great show. Perfect. I've heard Paul McCartney playing Pinnacle.
He's coming.
Yeah.
Why is he playing Pinnacle?
I don't know.
So that you tickets are $20,000?
Something like that, yeah. $5,000-$10,000, I think, VIP left.
But why not play a bigger venue?
He doesn't want to. 83 years old, does whatever he wants.
Probably just doesn't want your hate. Doesn't want the probably chance of your hate totally being anywhere yeah. nearby.
If he's in Bridgestone, I'd be there just,
boo! Yes, boo. Just cat calling him the whole time. This sucks.
Like, who is this guy?
Incubus is better than this.
Yeah, where's Creed? Get Creed out there.
A lot of people texting today about, am I heartbroken because Kirk Cousins said something like he loves Creed? I think he has said previously.
Oh, he's done a whole press conference about it.
About Creed. So, yeah, look, nobody's perfect.
You know. You like that? You like that?
So I'll forgive him for some bad musical taste. He likes some good bands at least. But Ryan McGee texted me real quick. He said, by the way, on that NFC-AFC, that is the post-NCAA breakaway Super League. Roy Kramer told me that would happen. For a story in 2011.
There you go.
He hasn't been wrong yet. Roy Kramer is still rocking and rolling well into his 90s, living in the state of Tennessee, by the way.
I mean, that we have discussed that before, like that, the idea of that happening.
For sure.
I hope not. I know McGee hopes not, too. Like, I hope that does not happen. But
I mean, look, if it's NFC-AFC and it happens, then to me it's still got to be like 30 or so on each side. Which sounds ridiculous.
It's stupid.
But that's still better than just like taking them right now and excluding everybody else. That would be insane.
Yeah, what does the national championship mean then?
Right. It's a joke.
So you have some things to yell about at Stilly, who has not been on the air this week. I believe he's back today. I think he's back on the air today.
Well, I figured since he bailed on us, I mean, he's going to be able to do his show, but he doesn't have time for our show, which is great. But
that's what he said.
Keep bothering me 5 o'clock on Wednesday to help your program. But he texted me this yesterday, and you know that's usually when Stilly texts me. It's like to point at me and
is he doing this again on
it
vacation?
Can't be fake.
Is he texting you on vacation?
Yes,
tweeting on vacation.
Text me on vacation because there's this. Apparently, there Caitlin Clark and Stephanie White, apparently there's maybe they don't see eye to eye about the Fever's offensive identity. There's some, you know, there was a story about this, so he tweeted this to me, and he tweets in all caps, "Worth the wait." Which, for people who don't know that backstory, when Stephanie White was hired as the Vanderbilt women's basketball coach, I was columnist at the Tennessean.
You were.
She had won a WNBA championship. I had watched her play great basketball, winning a national championship as a point guard at Purdue. I had listened to her analysis on the Big Ten Network. She was excellent there. She could be a great analyst, by the way, if she wants to. And so, yes, by all measures, to me, she was a good hire for Vanderbilt. Didn't work out. This is what he clings to. This is, and also, by the way, Jared has, like, Caitlin, you know, some sort of like she has a mind, Jedi mind hold on him where she couldn't possibly be wrong, right?
Yeah.
Like, is it possible that a coach could have a good point over a second year player who's like 22? Yeah. Or Caitlin's just right all the time? Nope. Caitlin's right. If Caitlin said it, it must be right. Again, I love Caitlin Clark, but like, we can't touch her, can't breathe on her. Everybody got to vote for her. Everybody's got to applaud. Thank you, Caitlin, for helping the WNBA. And also, if she gets in the beef with the coach must be wrong.
I'm just going through this.
What's wrong with these people?
I'm just going through this old column you wrote at the Tennessee.
Oh, yeah? How is it?
It's good. It's going well so far.
I mean, look, she did not do a good enough job. There's no question. I would also say that if you put her in the same time frame, and I think Shea Ralph's done a better job. Shea Ralph's done a really good job.
Yes.
But look at some of the stuff that has happened for Vanderbilt athletics at large in tandem with Shea Ralph's tenure that were not happening for Steph White's tenure, which is, if you go back, there wasn't much happening good other than Tim Corbin at Vanderbilt at the time. Just saying.
The headline is pretty funny.
Vanderbilt Stephanie White, worth the wait.
Yeah. I didn't write the headline, for one thing.
She is worth it.
I mean, it was a good hire.
Here come the Natties.
Hey, just like Ken Wisenhunt, you know? Hey, the guys won a Super Bowl. Good hire. True. Good hire, Titans.
Oh, I remember the Wisenhunt discussion was always funny around here. It's like, oh, they're about to wing the ball around, baby. They're about to throw this thing all over the yard out there.
Modern NFL offense, finally.
Get that dinosaur, Mike Mularkey.
Yeah.
Why am I blanking on the coach?
He was later.
Why am I blanking on who the coach
Munchak
was? Munchak.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
Well, it's a
Hall of Fame player. I can't think of his name.
Well, I'm rubbing off on you, man. That's not good.
Yeah, get the dinosaur, Munchak, out of here. Let's bring in Wisenhunt.
Brain emeritus.
Someone's horn going
tell
off
me
in
this. Please tell me that's not my rental car.
Someone's horn's going off in the parking lot. It can barely kind of hear it in the headphones. I don't know if it's coming through on the air or not, but sorry about that.
All right, I'm just clicking lock just in case. Didn't do anything.
1 year. That's good to know. Good to know.
Please, someone, deal with that.
Who was the – I'm trying to think.
Stilly? Is that you, Stilly?
In year two of Wisenhunt, they drafted Mariota. In his first year, like, I'm trying to remember how many different quarterbacks they went through. Like, I obviously, the Met show was a part of it.
Right, yeah.
But I'm trying to remember, like, exactly how many quarterbacks – they went through in that year where they were 2-14.
Well, it was Rusty. Was that the same year?
I think so, yeah.
Who was the backup who had the hair?
Whitehurst.
Charlie Whitehurst.
Charlie Whitehurst.
Clipboard Jesus was in there.
Sure, yep. Man.
I mean, there are some doozies of some quarterbacks that got used that year. It's pretty wild.
Someone figure out the car was blowing up now? Okay,
Zach Mettenberger, Charlie Whitehurst. I think Locker played in 5 games that year. And Jordan Palmer, who apparently Will Levis just worked with. Jordan Palmer, played a game for the Titans.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's an incredible.
He threw for, let's see here, 1 completion for 7 yards.
Sorry, I'm getting distracted. Texter says it's definitely coming through.
What is going on?
What is happening? Do I have to get up and go?
Is there an attempted
take care of this?
Someone from promotions went out there to look.
Is there an attempted burglary going on outside?
If it's a GMC Acadia, that's my rental car.
615-737-1025.
Because I destroyed my car this week.
This program.
Hi.
coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. The Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix coming to the Nashville Super Speedway Labor Day weekend, and 102.5, The Game has your chance to win VIP tickets to the IndyCar race. Text in the keyword race to 615-737-1025 to be entered to win a pair of VIP tickets. For more information on the event, visit musiccitygp.com. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road. Rex Road has turned off his car alarm, so that's good. We seem to be in the clear.
We don't know for sure it was mine, but I do think that possibly Carsey was trying to break in my car.
There's a chance.
Yeah.
There's a chance it was him. There's a chance it was you.
He says he's on vacation, but I think he might be out cat burglaring and egging people.
Gallivanting around town.
Yeah, that's just my guess.
Maybe so. Taking your thoughts. 615-737-1025. We do have a positive interaction with Ken Wisenhunt back in the day. Somebody is sending a picture of their grandson meeting Ken Wisenhunt. Two joyous faces in the picture, the grandson and Ken Wisenhunt with a nice smile there. So a positive
there
interaction.
There you go. Thank you.
Head coach of Titans.
I knew we would get someone other than people related to him.
This is the most
there you go.
Ken Wisenhunt has been brought up on a show in Nashville in a long time.
This is July 11th, and that's when extensive Ken Wisenhunt conversations can possibly take place.
No doubt about that. We began the show, Joe, with the NCAA tournament expansion vote. That has been tabled at the moment. Now, still the opportunity and the possibility that the NCAA tournament will expand from 68 to 76, maybe 72. But as of now, nothing official on that front. Yesterday, it gets tabled. So we'll see.
I really thought that yesterday we were going to get the vote and the announcement and the ridiculous statements supporting the announcement that it had expanded. So take every little win for what it is. I still can't say I'm optimistic. You know, there's just a lot of pushing for this from people who have the most power in college athletics, and usually they get their way. But maybe this is a little indication that they're hearing the very loud opposition to this. I mean, it's easy if you want to just say, yeah, screw all these media people. But again, like the customers, you know, your fans, the people who make your product valuable are strongly against this. And the casuals who may not care right now, those are the ones you might lose. So hopefully they'll consider that it hit perfection in 1985, and sometimes you just don't have to change things. And again, if you're going to tell me about how Division I has grown so much, I know that you are BSing me, and everybody else needs to know you are BSing us, Greg Sankey and others, because as you know, all those teams added to the fold are still in the one big leagues that are going to fight for the one bid that they have. The people who benefit from this are the power conference teams that are too average to get in the first place.
Does it give you any hope at all, realistically, that it may not happen, the fact that it was tabled yesterday, or is this just they ran out of time to talk yesterday and they'll get back to it at some point?
I mean,
they wanted to go to lunch.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly don't even know what else was on the agenda. And there's always a lot of stuff going on. But I don't know. It feels like there's a little bit of hesitation from some people considering all the noise. I hope that's what it is. You know, you hope that you flail your arms and make enough noise across a sport and, like, the people who are in power will at least sort of notice it.
This is what Dan Gavitt said yesterday. Quote, expansion, even at a modest level, is complex. More complex, I think, than has been recognized and reported, because it is expensive. He goes on to say, if this website will stop having pop-ups, it's expensive because of an additional team travel, per diem, game operations, but also the basketball performance funds, the units that are earned throughout the men's and women's basketball championships. So talking about the expenses of it all, maybe that's why I got tabled yesterday.
Okay. I mean, obviously the idea is that, you know, those units he just mentioned, you know, that's what Greg Sankey, Tony Petitti, little MLB TV ideas, and these people want. They want more units, more teams in, more of their teams in, more of their ADs happy, more of their coaches feeling secure in their jobs, and more money from the units. But Again, we're talking about what was the number? Why do I always keep forgetting the number?
It was $19.7 billion, if memory serves me correctly.
A 22-year, $19.6 billion, situation here. And I absolutely think that a big part of that is people who don't follow the sport during the year who then jump on hardcore in March.
Yeah.
But yeah. Between them and then the people who are really into the sport who are also screaming about this, I don't know. Seems like you might reconsider. So we'll see. I hope so.
I hope so,
but
too.
It's like it's going to loom forever, too. You know, like it doesn't happen. It'll keep coming back up and keep coming. It gets exhausting.
A lot of reactions to our question we threw out there earlier. What's most likely in the next 5 years? A Titan Super Bowl, a Vols National Championship, or a Vanderbilt College Football Playoff experience? Most people going with the Titan Super Bowl on that. And I think basically because of the NFL, and if you figure out quarterback, you're going to give yourself a shot at that point.
Yeah.
A lot of optimism on Cam Ward.
Yeah, look, the worst team in this league, sometimes the worst team in this league is there as a symptom of just terrible ownership. Hello, Detroit Lions. Or it's bad management, things like that. Like some of the worst teams stay there. You know, Pittsburgh and some of the best organizations, Baltimore, they stay in one area. But this league is built for, within a five-year period, a team that's 2-15, 1 year by the beginning of that can be 15-2 by the end of it. That easily can happen. So, yeah, if Cam – right now, not knowing at all what Cam Ward's going to be, I think that's the clear choice.
I mean, Titans –
but you think there's a distance between Vanderbilt making a playoff and the Vols winning it all, which is interesting.
I just don't think people realize how hard it is to go from, like, playoff competitor to national championship winner. Like, it's a hard thing, especially as the playoff continues to expand, like getting to 16. Again, like, for Vanderbilt, I know the idea of them making the college football playoff to most people just sounds hilarious. Like, it's not going to happen. But it is expanding to 16. And we talked about the imbalanced schedule part of it, too. Like, there's going to be a year at some point where you look at Vanderbilt's schedule and it's like, man, they caught a break here in the SEC, right? Like, it's going to happen at some point. And now, does everything line up that time? Like, do they get a friendly enough schedule with the right quarterback play, with the right roster at the right time? Like, that's a lot of things that have to fall into place at the same time. So I recognize that. I don't think that with the playoff expanding to 16 is just some impossibility like it was when it was a 14 playoff for Vanderbilt.
Different time, but James Franklin, I believe, had a 9-3 Vanderbilt team.
Correct.
They lose a bowl game, then they end up 9-4.
I think so, yes.
I think that's right. So, yeah, look, Georgia was down then. I mean, you have, but there's other programs right now that have cycled. There will be other programs that cycle down. So yeah, you got to hit lightning in the bottle of the schedule, and then you got to win a couple games that you just shouldn't, like they did last year against Alabama, and you're right there.
Yeah, I mean, Cameron says the Vols don't recruit nearly at a level to win the national championship. Heupel recruits at the baseline for Tennessee, no matter the coach. I wouldn't say that. Like, I think Heupel has done a good job recruiting. He has not done an elite job recruiting. That really what it's going to come down to for Tennessee to me is, like, it's hard for me to believe that this time 5 years from now they're going to be competing top to bottom with a roster of the Ohio States and the Georgias and the Alabamas of the world. Like, I don't think that's going to happen. What about the quarterback? Like, do you get good enough quarterback play where you can overcome some of that? That's going to be the way it has to be done.
Yeah, because look, like Michigan, we were talking about them earlier, like, obviously, they won it all 2 years ago. Whatever. You can say whatever you want about what's his name?
Stallions.
Yeah, Connor Stallions. But, and it was a very good roster. They sound like guys in the NFL. But, like, J.J. McCarthy, I think, really was probably underrated as a college player. That's what put him over the top. Harbaugh had this very disappointing tenure, and then McCarthy becomes finally a great quarterback that he has that elevates everything, right? And now last year, they're an average. I know it's they lost all these guys, but, like, you can see that's a program that I think is more similar to Tennessee in terms of if you have the right guy at that position, you could make a run.
Matthew says Heupel's 2026 class would like a word with that last texter. I mean, I disagree. It's 2026 class at the moment. We'll see where it finishes. But at the moment, it's like 13 through 16, depending on where you look, which is about where they've been. So, again, he's done a pretty good job recruiting, and he's had a couple of high-level guys, and, obviously the one was supposed to be Nico, and that didn't go very well. So we'll see what happens. Got another quarterback coming in next year, theoretically.
Big Ten Media Days in Las Vegas, where UCLA's Nico Iamaleava will talk.
Yeah.
What did I just do with his name there?
I don't know.
Very bad.
He torched it.
Whatever. He's a Big Ten quarterback.
Yeah, it doesn't matter
anymore.
Doing
Big Ten Media Days in Vegas for UCLA.
That does it for us today. Hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. We'll be back 6 a.m. on Monday. Chase and Big Joe show up next. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.